alive, cause I got so much to tell you, so let's go kick some.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen and Kristen, proudly sponsored this month by Auckland Council's Creative Communities. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight we catch up with the team from Auckland's premier circus company, the Dust Palace. We're checking in with Emma down in the deep south for all the theatre happenings down in that part of the island. Plus Ben Rugg and Jenny Smith are in the studio to entertain us live ahead of their up and coming show and concert. Now, Kristen and I are both excited this week because a band from our childhood is coming to New Zealand for their 50th anniversary tour. Now, if you know this intro, you're old like us. But if not, you're just far too young. It is, of course, Air Supply. So to kick off the show, here's a little bit of Air Supply with All Out of Love.
Way. It gets harder each day. Please love me.
Now, I know Emma will be listening and she'll be joining us, Kristen. She'll want to come along to Air Supply. In fact, I think she came with me last time they came to New Zealand, but this is their 50th tour. They've been going a while.
Well, they are coming on my birthday, so I consider it that they are coming to see me.
Absolutely.
I realize it's not about me, but in this case, it is. And I cannot wait. It'll be so, it's just timeless, right? It never ages. It's always on point, and I always cry. So I am a bit teary right now.
Excellent. That's playing at the Civic on the 15th of December, Tuesday the 15th. Head along to Ticketmaster for all the tickets for good old Air Supply. Welcome back. You're filling in. We're going to catch up with Emma a little later in the show. She's down the South Island, busy with lots of shows in the week and her pilot program, which I think was in Tapanui. So we'll catch up. She's in the deep, bitter cold. I said, how is it the other night? And I got a photo of a roaring fireplace. That's all I got. And I was like, okay, cool, that's needed. Lots of shows happening. It's school holidays. Last weekend, Emma and I managed to get along to the pump house to Old McDonald's Farm. This week, I've caught Chitty Chitty Bang Bang at Playhouse Theatre. And you and I went along today to Centre Stage to Bugsy Malone. Two old shows, actually. Great trips down memory lane. Classic children's music. I must give a shout out, though, to the set team of Playhouse Theatre. That car was impressive. Oh, my goodness. And when it developed its wings in a certain part of the show, it's like, yeah, well done, guys. They certainly did well in that space.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, we're very delighted tonight to be joined by two Jeffs, Jeff Allen and Jeff Gilson from the fabulous Dust Palace. How are you, Jeff?
Oh, good. Thanks, Stephen. And thanks very much, Stephen and Kristen and Amber, who's down south. Thanks for inviting us onto the show.
It's great to have you here. And welcome Jeff on the phone, who's joining us from out west. How are you?
Oh, kia ora. It's so good to be here on this beautiful starry night out here in the west.
Hasn't it been a fabulous long weekend? I mean, the forecast was for rain, then rain, then rain, and it was just beautiful. Beautiful.
Absolutely stunning for Matariki.
Yeah.
So happy.
So, Jeff Allen, just for our listeners that are listening all over the country, tell us, what is the Dust Palace?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Dust Palace.
It's going to be one of those nights with two Jeffs and they're not in the same studio.
He did use my surname.
I thought
you made a mistake because we've just been doing. Anyway, Dust Palace is New Zealand's premier touring circus. And it's based at the Ellerslie Arts, the Ellerslie War Memorial Hall. And it's been there for over, around about over a year now. Since they had a fire in the last premises. It's a fantastic venue. They've put the whole rig up in the ceiling. And my part of the job is to, as well as supporting everything else that happens, because just like in theatre and circus, everyone sort of, you know, puts their shoulder to the wheel. But my main job is to help run the classes, look after the tutors and the students, because we run a circus school of between 17 to 21 classes every week.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, you mentioned the fire, so that was about a year ago.
How about I answer that?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So we were in a previous premises, and the fire was not there. We exited that premises, and we had put our stuff in a storage area whilst looking for a new premises. And that storage area, we were just a small part of this large warehouse with a whole lot of stuff in it, with different people who had different parts of it. And we had this big fire in there and lost a whole bunch of our specialty apparatus, like a giant aerial umbrella and all these aerial spirals. You know, like a little thing you might see in a person's window with an infinity spiral. Well, we had giant ones of those that people would be performing on. So we lost all that, unfortunately, and then found this new premises in Ellerslie, and we got back on our feet, and we've been there since April 25. We've been running this venue, so we call the venue itself Ellerslie Arts as a home for the arts, and it's the home of the Dust Palace. So we
gotcha.
We run it, but we also host a whole lot of different visual art. There's arts and crafts classes. There's artist studios there. There's what else? We've got ecstatic dance. We've had all these sorts of different, you know, performance and residencies and things that we host there, as well as being the place where we run our school from and where we rehearse our shows for community corporate events and our big theatre shows. For example, we just did a tour of Canada recently.
Wow.
Came back from.
Yeah. Wow. And what's your specific role there?
Well, specific is a problem.
Everything.
Yeah. What does the job description say?
Basically, I get the bookings for the venue. So I'm sort of a host of the venue to make the venue hum and run and financially viable. I also work for the events. For example, our corporate and community events. I just created the Matariki event we had at the venue, but also other spaces around Auckland and around the country. I'll be pitching shows to various festivals and so on and so forth. And I'm also a performer in the shows. Yeah.
Brilliant. So both of you keep well and truly out of your mischief. Jeff Allen in the studio, tell me about the Matariki special that you just had on Friday.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, Jeff put a wonderful program, the other Jeff, Jeff Gilson, put an amazing program together where we had the main show was at 1 o'clock, and it was a circus performance by some of our performers based on the story of the stars of Matariki and combining an environmental theme into it. We had rongoā Māori workshops, we had juggling workshops, we had give it a go workshops with the for the kids there, and people there could try out, you know, get on some of the aerial apparatus. Cool. We had kai, etc. plenty of waiata.
Performance poetry
was fantastic. Billy did a great performance poetry. One of the classic moments in the show was when Joe, one of our performers who was playing guitar and singing in Te Reo Māori, was lifted up by Mr. Jeff Gilson here.
yeah.
He was sitting on him, and he had was supporting his feet and everything, and just lifting him up, and you know.
Brilliant.
I don't know why, but it just looked good.
Fantastic. Let's talk about the classes a little later in the show. First of all, Jeff Gilson, talk to us a little bit about what you've got coming up, and I guess, you know, what you're wanting from our listeners, either to support, to audition, to hire the space. Fill us in.
Okay. Well, last week was the first week of the school holidays. We had a school holiday program for a couple of days, and we had the Matariki events, yeah? And next week is the second week of the holidays, and we are really doing our prep for the lead-in to the school, which Jeff Allen can talk about. What else have we got? We've got a lot of things going on, to be honest. We've got
the school show in September coming up.
We've got a school show. It will be the end of term in September, so anyone that's doing classes this term, they're not being compelled, you know, they are. Should they wish to, they'll be able to perform at the end of this term. We've got a great event called Two Islands. I'll let Jeff Allen talk about that at the end of the term. And, in terms of the space, we have a lot of really interesting events coming into the space this term as well. There's so many, I can't really think of them.
Is Taranaki something that can be talked about?
Not really confirmed yet. We've got mm-hmm. a bunch of things always in the pipeline about where our travelling show is going to next. So we are hoping to go down to Taranaki. We're hoping to go down to Hamilton and do shows. But all these things, you sort of do a lot of negotiations for quite a while before mm-hmm. you get them across the line. So, and we've got our next residency starting. So we just completed our first residency for the year, and this is where earlier we had people applying, and they could apply to be a resident and work, and we give them dramaturgy support, we give them space hire for free, and we work with them, and then we allow them, you know, to put on a show there to work on what they're developing. So we did our first show a couple of weeks ago, which was all last term we were working with them, and they presented that, and it was super fantastic. We had three different acts, all very different, all circus and theatre combined. And we've got our next one starting basically in a week's time, and that will be all of Term 3, and then they will present at the end of the term as well. We've got a big Fairies and Pirates Festival in Ellerslie in September, which is, we'll be giving free workshops there, and we'll be dressed as pirates and fairies and stilt walking. Yeah.
Brilliant.
The list goes on, yeah.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And what's sort of your long-term goal, I guess, for Dust Palace? Where do you want to take this?
Yeah, sure. Well, the show we just came back from Ottawa with was called Te Tangi At Te Tui. It's a collaborative piece we made with Te Post Māori Theatre, who are based at Corbin's Estate in Henderson. And we've worked on this for about 3 or 4 years now, and it's toured quite a bit. It did Auckland Arts Festival, and it did a Te Ika A Māui tour. And we are hoping to get one more, at least, go of that around the country, because not enough of our beautiful citizens have seen it, we think, yet. And then hopefully another overseas tour with that. And we're hoping to... we're also presenting another Te Reo Māori performance for kids, though, this time, and it's called Tua Rewa Te Ahi Krimi. So it's about travelling some ice creams back from the local dairy in the era of climate change, and how to be and so the ice creams start melting, so how do you protect them? And it's all about kaitiakitanga and the environment we live in and protecting the environment. So we've got that in Ellerslie in August, and also coming up in September in RTS Square, an outdoor version. Yeah, it's hard to think when we on the fly of how many things we've got.
lots happening. What was your sort of first connection to the arts and circus? When did it all kick off for you?
For me, I went to dance school at Unitech, started in 1999. And I believe, was Kick Arts, did that used to be based on campus there as
That's
well?
That's right, yep, sure were, yeah.
Because I've been there before, and I can't even remember what I was talking about. But, yeah, I went to Unitech Contemporary Dance School, and then I travelled, danced around the world for a bit, and then just started getting into some aerials. And Eve Gordon, who was the creator of the Dust Palace, brought me into the very first show, and I started training with them. And yeah, and so Eve Gordon is the artistic director of the company, still in Canada, pitching shows in Montreal for us, and is coming back this week. Yeah, so they are one of the other major people in the team, and we've got Rachel Dubois, who's executive director and producer for the shows. And so the long-term vision is keep making amazing artistic work of different scales, so that we can get out there to the small rural communities, and we can tour internationally, and build the community of people that love circus and performing arts with our classes, and yeah, be more inclusive as we can, expand it to different communities, and yeah, some big dreams there.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right, we're going to take a short music break, and then we'll chat to Jeff in the studio about the classes coming up. So we will let you escape out west and enjoy what's left of this, what sounds like a very busy long weekend for you.
Very good one. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a break now. Here is Home Entertainment System with their track just released 2 weeks ago called Holding the Line. Hold in the line. Home entertainment system. Now, we are going back in time today because we kicked off with Air Supply. But then if you go and watch the music video to that track, oh my goodness, it's everything 80s and 90s that you would have found in a bedroom or home, from Gremlins to E.T. to Back to the Future. It's quite a music video to watch.
Well, Dave from Home Entertainment System, of course, from Brother Sister Band, he curates his collections from all the events we go to. Like, I see him at the retro event all the time.
Oh.
And so he is like the real deal, authentic, collecting it, watching his movies. I really enjoy his posts, and I really enjoy seeing him develop as an artist. And he definitely just gave a big thank you for sharing his track, because it is super new, and he's going to be performing on his own while the sister is at home having a baby. So congratulations
to
that.
All right, well, jump online and check out the video. Now, Jeff, before we unpack the classes, let's unpack Jeff Allen. No stranger to the world of theatre. Wait, can you remember, can you take us back? What first kicked it off for you? What was it? Please say the nativity play at school, because Kristen
yes,
and I are on a roll.
I hope you were in the nativity.
No, I have been in a few nativity plays, but no, actually, apart from when we were just leaving high school, there was a girl that I was really liked, and she was going to acting classes, so I went along to these classes, and it didn't work out with the girl. We didn't really click, and but the acting stuck, and and at that time, I was going to, you know, School of Fine Arts. I was focusing on being a painter, and then later a photographer. But while I was at Elam, theatre workshop was happening, and it was a very exciting time, and the Maidment Theatre was still there.
Oh, yeah.
So we were doing shows, and the parties were great, and it was just, the actor's life was fantastic. It kept drawing me back. In fact, it got me into trouble at art school. And, you know, people like Don Binney would bring me into their office and, you know, say, I know that it's more interesting going along to Phil Dadson's music events. Actually, I still see Phil Dadson now, who was the sculpture tutor there at the time. So, yeah, theatre drew me away finally in about, was that, 84, 85. And then I just kept going with theatre from there. And then I was in Taranaki in New Plymouth and got a job teaching for the Taranaki Performing Arts Company. It was my first gig teaching, and that was about 1990, and I'm still teaching up to this day, so at Devonport Drama. So that was kind of my journey from going from being a fine artist to being a performing artist. And then in the last few years, I've really moved out of performing so much more into being the writing, the creating, the directing, the producing, and that kind of thing.
And also, you've really taken under your wing looking after a number of theatre venues over the year. I mean, I think of, you know, your name very popular at the Rose Centre on the shore, then Pitt Street came along in the city, and now Dust Palace, and there's probably others. What is it about your sort of passion for these venues that crop up?
Well, the, Pitt Street was an interesting one. We'd done a show at Samoa House, and in summer, and it was very hot, and I was looking for another venue to do something. And I walked, I looked, stood outside some more house, and I looked across and saw Pitt Street Church there, and I thought, oh, they've got a hall. I'll go over and see if I can hire it. And then Minister Lynn Frith said, oh, I've heard of you. Oh, I know you. You're a theatre guy. Would you like to start a theatre here? And that's something.
Isn't that cool?
That's something that would all be, you know, as a bunch of young actors, you're always going into old cinemas and
plus, you don't say no to a minister. I mean, come on. That's a, you know, high calling has asked you to set up a venue. Come on.
Yeah, she's pretty cool then.
That's awesome.
I mean, because normally, you know, I was a bit taken aback, and I think all I could say was, oh, yeah, sure. You know, so that was about 9 years ago. And over that time, Pitt Street managed to find, close to $40,000 from, so we've got new lights, dimmer packs, air conditioning units, and over that time I lobbied to get, we've got a dressing room upstairs, we've got our own costume department, we've got now got our own foyer downstairs, so it's now become a complete theatre, you know, and it's got a lovely vibe.
It has. It's so cool.
And,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, middle range, could be fancier and et cetera, but it fulfilled that gap because back in the... Oh, the 2010s and up, we were doing a lot of shows at Maidment, Little Maidment. That was our kind of home when I was doing Galatea Theatre. And then we lost the Maidment, and there was no sort of middle ground between Q Theatre and... it's the little one near the Motet.
AMT, where AMT are based. Or TAPAC?
Not TAPAC, but there's a Garnet Station.
Yep.
So Garnet Station, what I'm, is an
very
example.
Small. Yeah.
Small venue.
Yeah.
Or you've got Q Theatre and very little else in between. So Pitt Street was an affordable venue, and I actually named it the, you know, Auckland's upper city indie restaurant, you know, theatre. And it's really taken off, and we've got Stray Theatre Company, who are the university group now, what used to be Theatre Workshop when I was there. And they're a resident company there, and they bring this fantastic, wonderful, wacky youth. You know, they pack out their shows, and they have such creative and inventive. You know, it's really inspiring to me to see these young people with so much energy.
Do you know what I love about Pitt Street, though? Having hired the space, is the local community comes and supports it. There's a huge community that live in apartments and units and all around that upper Queen Street, K Road, etc. Yeah. All who often don't drive, so they look for something local. I was just so impressed because I was front of house and everyone comes, oh, you know, who do you know on the show? And the amount of people that said, oh no, just come to support anything that's here. And I love that. It's like that's true community theatre again.
Yeah.
Where the locals literally roll out and come and support what's in that space. And they're an eclectic group of locals who love everything that you put on there. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah, we had one show there a few years ago where we had drag queens at the front door taking the tickets.
Yeah.
You know, it was a show about trans, being trans, and it was fantastic. It felt so K Road,
yeah,
you know?
and
where you can have people from the church mixing with that group, and then the street choir coming in, and the local Samoan choir coming in. So we have, there's a lot of choirs.
Yes.
But I shouldn't talk about
it. No, but it was going to segue you in, because my next question was, so you went from Rose Centre, you've got Pitt Street ticking, and now what enticed you over to Dusk Palace?
Well, I left the Rose last year, and I still felt like I had some energy. And a friend of mine, Gray Burton from Lakehouse Arts, said that, look, there's a job coming up at the Dust Palace. So it was something quite different, it was a new challenge. I have a belief that if one person can do something, then another person can do it. You know, you can, or you, what you need to learn, you'll pick up along the way. And what you find so difficult, someone else will come in and go, here, I'll do that for you. Let me do that. You know, I have that skill. So it was a leap of faith to go into the Dust Palace. Because they're just, as an outsider coming, I'm not a circus performer. And not an aerialist or an acrobat. But coming in and seeing the passion, the intensity, the great aroha that is there amongst the performers. I mean, they really are, you know, they're all artists who really want to create and create in a warm and positive, nice, supportive environment.
Yeah.
Without a lot of egos and all that kind of stuff. I mean, and very positive people, so supportive, so hardworking, and I think the Dust Palace is a great example of an arts organisation that is pulling its weight and works. I mean, Jeff, you know, in the morning we'll be on the computers, then he'll be directing something, then he'll be showing people around and booking people, and then he'll go and be picking up and stuff, and then in the afternoon he'll be on stilts out at Henderson doing a gig, and he looks after a young daughter too, Alona. So it's kind of relentless and exhausting, but exciting at the same time. And people say to me, oh, right, okay. And do they have other jobs or do they? I say, no, this is it.
Yeah.
That's it. They just do that. But they do it. They have to do it all the time. And Eve, who's the artistic director, is still in Canada and still going out and talking to people and trying to. Because they tour to Australia this year. And with a show, a fantastic show, which I saw at Q, where they actually made the costumes on stage. Eve's a great sewer, so they incorporated this into the show of having a sewing machine on stage, and the video camera showing you that as the performers needed to, it was all about getting ready for a big fashion night show. They made the costumes on stage as Brilliant. They were performing.
Brilliant.
Oh, it was a totally amazing show. So the level of quality is incredible too. And that comes from a lot of planning, but also like years of experience and being able to put it together really quickly.
Yeah.
Having a limited time, because Jeff's really good at budgeting out the financials and figuring out, you know, and as much as possible, the Dust Palace is trying to, you know, pay people a decent, you know, decent wage, etc., or fee. So I've been there now, I don't know, maybe 9 months, eight, nine months now.
So talk us through the classes that you're looking after.
Well, I look after, we have the school, there's the performing area, touring group, there's the corporate stuff, there's the hiring of the venue, but we have a school where a lot of our performers are our tutors.
Right.
And we go from aerial to sort of groundwork. It could be tumbling. We've had a mime class. Zoe Higgins has run a fantastic mime class and is doing an improv one this coming term. We have the more experienced people. We've got four sessions a week of trapeze. This is for the more advanced people. But we have about seven different youth classes as well, where they come and they learn to go on the things like the silks. These are these cloths that hang down, or the lira, which is the big hoop. We also have the straps, which are straps that come down and you sort of swing around on those. I can't be very technical because I'm not, Jeff was here, give more technical side. But and we have a new class on Wednesday, which is the Little'uns, which is for 3 to 6 year olds, where our tutors take kids who basically just, you know, like hanging in the air, swinging around, and some of them pick it up really quickly. You know, and they're able to sort of like flip over and do stuff like that. So we go right from that 3 to 6 years old up to, well, they keep telling me that you can be people in their 70s are doing, you know, aerial stuff, and but I haven't got me up. No.
Brilliant. And people can sign up for a term, or is it very much a year-long program?
You do it by terms, and you can also contact us and then come in for a trial. You can have a trial on something, and then, you book it up term by term.
Nice. Where would you like to see all this go for Dust Palace? Same question I asked Jeff, but with your education hat on, are you creating your future tutors?
Oh, yes, very much so. You can see it. And we have the show that I'm doing, Two Islands, I'm doing with Tama Whaiwhai, which is the youth circus. So a lot of the ones from the youth circus will, Chloe Ross, who has come through that system, is now tutoring a lot of classes as well, a lot of youth classes. So, yeah, absolutely. Because once they get it, they seem to get a bug for it, you know.
Yeah.
A real passion for it. And it's a communicating and it's storytelling in a completely different way.
Yeah. So finally tell us a little bit more about this Two Islands, a new play based on a children's folk tale, intergenerational project.
Yes, it is. And this is a very
exciting.
Yes, this is one which kind of combines my past with my current job. In that, as a writer-director, I mean, my job is basically to run the school classes, so... but a local member of the Auckland East Community Network, Terry Moore, just walked in and said, "Oh, I see you've got, you know, theatre stuff happening here. I've got an idea. I've got this short story, children's story. I'd like to see it done as a play, with bringing in people of all different ages." And I said, because I'm terrible at saying no. And no. I love it because we often have to come up with our own ideas. When someone comes and says, hey, would you like to do this?
Yeah, it's a starting block, isn't it?
It's great because it's not all on you. It's like, you come from a position of, I'll help you do that, and I've got the skills to do it. So I took this very short children's story called Two Islands, which is an environmental piece about two groups going to two similar islands. One turns it into a factory wasteland, and one lives in balance with it. And then how those two islands relate to each other. And we've created this play, and people seem to like it, which was great. And then I'm working with the tutors from Tama Whaiwhai, and they're creating... There's a whole circus thing what happens. You know, when the kids on each island try and communicate with each other, they do it through kites. So we have one performer who's the kite, who'll be sort of flying through the air and...
That's cool.
And all that kind of stuff. And when we have serpents rising up because of the darkness of the islands and stuff like that, we'll have people come, you know, going up in the air on silks and things like that. So it's my first time combining what I do, which is writing and directing, with circus. So it's just all open, kind of like, I'm not quite sure. Like, you're never quite sure, you know, you do shows a lot. You're never quite sure what's it's going to be. Mm. This time I'm just not quite sure what it's going to be on the ground and in the air. But I've got really good people helping me, and a fantastic crew, wonderful costume person, Pip, is making some unbelievable costumes. People seem to have... It's really nice because you write something and you think, well, people like this, or just go, it doesn't quite hit the mark. But they seem to have really... It seems to be in tune with Dust Palace, and hopefully is saying something about people and the environment, which I think the Dust Palace is very conscious of, you know, the whole being in balance with the environment and so on, and all that kind of thing.
Brilliant. Oh, Jeff, so much happening in such a cool space. Where can people go to find out more, book classes, find out about the venue, or just sign up and ask for Jeff and see which one comes to the door?
Well, they can either contact me on jeffallen@thedustpalace.co.nz or just simply go to our website, The Dust Palace, and you can go in and go, and all the information's there, the program, the timetable for the term, and you can just go in and either contact me directly to book a class or a trial, or you can just go in and book yourself a term of either aerial or ground-based work, or the Little Ones class for the 3 to 6 year olds. So we have beginner, intermediate, and advanced levels. So there's an entry point for anyone, wherever they're at, who just wants to give it a go.
Awesome. Brilliant. Thanks so much for coming in and spending some time with us tonight. We appreciate it. You can go and knock off for what's left of this Matariki weekend.
Oh, you've been so... it's such a wonderful environment here and vibes. Thank you so much. You've been really supportive. And thanks for inviting us to talk about the Dust Palace.
Always. Thanks, Jeff. We're going to take a music break now, then we're going to head to the Deep South to catch up with Emma and see what she's been up to. Here is Tiny Habits with Anything He Was.
Run, saving up speed for the real thing. Buckle tight in the backseat of a long ride to heal away. Try to glue, it's still on you, and you're breathing on me. Honest truth, it feels a little better. Tried to, nothing like he was, but I know what he meant to you. I tried to, live up to him. Memories proving you were happier doing anything we liked to do. But he was not.
to. Failing shoes, clinging on to you while you're sleeping. You sobered up, had enough of chasing feelings. Waking to an empty room after dreaming of you. Honest truth, I don't know what it really is.
Now, Kristen, it has been cold these last few mornings, hasn't it?
It has.
I think 3 degrees yesterday here in Auckland, but not a patch for the South Island. Shall we go and check in to Arrowtown and how beautifully warm it is for you down there, Emma Bishop?
Oh, it is stunningly warm down here.
How many fires have you got roaring?
Well, we actually haven't lit the fire tonight because we drove back from Tapanui and we've decided we don't need a fire tonight.
Oh, nice. Nice. And when we say we, what group of mischief makers have you got with you?
Well, I've actually this week been spending the week with Jeremy Hinman and Kane Welsh in Tapanui doing the pilot program of Midnight, the Cinderella Story Junior.
Great. How did that go?
Oh, it was amazing. 26 fantastic kids. We had a showing of work to a sold-out audience today. And, yeah, it's a great little show, and it's going to be fabulous when it finishes being structured and comes out for licensing, which will probably take another year or so.
Cool.
Congratulations.
And are you keeping that team with you now for your second week of the holidays, or have you ditched them on the side of the road to hitchhike back to an airport?
Yeah, no, we followed each other out to Ray's Junction turn off, and they headed down to Dunedin, and Jeremy's since flown home to Christchurch, and I've come up to Arrowtown, and I am staying here for the next couple of weeks to work with Waka Tipu on Hadestown, which goes up in just over a week's time.
Wow.
That is cool. That is cool. So a mixture of school holidays and back into term time.
Yes. We've got an intensive starts on Wednesday, and we go Wednesday to Wednesday with an intensive, and then they perform Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That is so cool. Have you seen Hadestown, Kristen?
I have not. I've seen snippets of it, yet I would love to see it. The more I hear about it and the more people really are loving it, I'm getting more and more hooked.
Do you notice any difference in the Deep South to in Auckland when you're working with kids? Like, are they more relaxed, less sort of don't know, technology bound or a teenagers, no matter where you, they are in the country?
I think teenagers are teenagers, no matter where you are in the country. I mean, they're probably a bit different because they haven't been exposed to so much competition, I think would be
right.
fair to say.
Yep.
So, like, the 26 kids we were working with, a lot of them had maybe done a school show but hadn't been in a lot of other theatre. So, you know, they were quite, yeah, probably innocent to the ways of the world and how it needs to be when you've only got a week to do things.
Mm. And all kind of in the same boat too.
Yeah, yeah. And actually the group we've just had in Tapa Nui were a lot, quite young compared to sometimes. The majority of them were under 14 years. So that changes things too, because even their own life experience is different to 16 to 18-year-olds.
Yeah, that would be.
Mm.
What's one of the highlights so far? Besides the sold-out crowd.
Yeah, no. Well, I think the biggest thing was this was a totally brand-new musical. I knew nothing about it before this week. Mm. So listening to new music and the way it grows over the week, like some of the songs at the start of the week, I was like, oh, it's a bit naff. But by the end of the week, I'm singing along, tapping my foot, going, this actually is going to be a fabulous musical when it's all finalised.
Interesting. So it does grow on you. Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
I'm on the journey.
Well, and that's the thing too, like even talking about Hadestown, I saw Hadestown in America and I was bored. And I didn't like it.
Really?
So then
now,
what do you...
Here I am doing it twice this year, and I love it.
Are you changing it from what you saw so that you can make sure that people don't feel the way you did?
No. I mean, I just think the more you listen to it, the more it grows on you. And a number of people that came and saw Stage Antics doing it in Auckland who have said, I hadn't heard it before, and I've listened to it nonstop since, and I love it.
Nice.
That is so cool.
It's interesting.
So what's next once you return to Auckland?
I'm home for a couple of days, and then I shoot off to Melbourne for Junior Theatre Celebration in Melbourne, where I'm adjudicating and teaching teachers. So that I'm there for a week and then I'm home and back with you. Mind you, I am back with you on Sundays. No, not this coming Sunday, but 2 weeks' time.
Brilliant. Well, the bad news, you'll need that puffer jacket for Melbourne too. It's pretty cold over there at the moment. I have on good authority.
Oh, well, it will be well warm.
Well, you go and relax after your busy week as you have a couple of days to catch your breath before you start what sounds like a very intensive time. Go well, and we'll look forward to hearing how it went when you get back.
No worries at all. And thanks for keeping Stephen company, Kristen.
Oh, I am, like I always say, I am a sad substitute, but always happy to be here and always happy to hear of your travels. So go well.
Thank you so much. Have a good rest of the show.
Take care. Our next song is an old Kiwi classic, but it was announced this week that it is in fact number one in the top 100 Wyatters of all time. And of course, they were number one in the top 20 charts back in the day. I don't even need to introduce it. It's one of those songs, as soon as you hear it, you're going to know.
Thank you.
Congratulations to the Pātea Māori Club, with Poie coming in at the number one Waiata in the top 100 Waiatas this week. That's really cool.
Lots of 80s.
I know, we are going back in time. Oh, now we've got to ask our next guest. This will be a real test of their age. Let's just, first of all, a big welcome back to Jenny and Ben. Great to have you in the studio tonight.
Hi.
Fantastic to have you here. We started the show off tonight with Kristen and I's excitement of Air Supply coming back. Jenny's giving me the look. Air Supply. Okay, so that's a no from Jenny. Ben, do you know Air Supply? You know Air Supply, see? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. See, I think we might be rocking it with our age in the audience that night.
Yes, well, I think we will be some of the youngest.
Yeah, true.
We will definitely not be the oldest, but it will be a very teary crowd.
Absolutely.
To be sure.
Absolutely. Well, welcome back. Great to have you guys here. And we are here tonight to talk about your own performance coming up on the 8th of August at the Off-Broadway Theatre in Papakura, performing together. When did you first meet each other? Remind our audience of your connection.
Go, Jenny.
Rurik was my year 11 onwards high school music teacher.
Great.
Yeah, and he just made an effort to stay in touch afterwards, which was great.
And then you formed this group to sing together at times and do your own things as well?
Yeah, I mean, I took Jenny and a bunch of students to the songwriting degree in Auckland University, and she fell in love with songwriting. So this was, like a combination of us just getting together and playing our own music to an audience that wants to be there and to listen to it and just to hear what we have on offer and what we can do. So it's going to be split in some ways, but there's, at the very end, we're going to jump on stage together and play a bunch of songs, and there's some special guests and surprises.
Nice.
Yeah, very exciting.
Oh, okay, keeping it under wraps there. All right, so Ben, since we last caught up with you, what have you been doing?
I have...
In the music world.
Oh, just organising shows and writing music, and very happy at the moment to announce that Channel has finally received, which is my rock band, has finally received funding from New Zealand On Air.
Great.
So we're about to go into the process of writing finishing our song that we've got and then filming a music video. First time I've ever really filmed a music video for any of my own music.
Wow.
With any project I've been doing. Yeah, very excited.
Well, you can get some tips from this one here, because she's certainly got a few music videos out there now.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking tonight about some of the music videos earlier in the show as well, especially the amount of people that do listen on YouTube, you know, and they've just got it in the background, or I know at work sometimes people have it on the floor and it's just cycling through music, but those videos are important.
They're coming back into vogue.
You're constantly releasing yours with music videos. How does that sort of play out in your planning? Do you have to go, okay, I've got to write and release so many songs, but then I've also got to make sure I've got the budget and the time to release the music video for this? Or how does that all work in your head?
I've made a lot of music videos by myself
in
the past. So I was lucky the last couple ones I had NZ On Air funding for. But prior to that, like Stuck On You, I Only Fall, which other ones did I do by myself? I don't know how not to in my head. They were all, and T-shirt, they were all just me with a camera, and I set up in one place and I move around the room and that's kind of it. But the very, very last one, driving home, was I've got a friend who moved up from Wellington and he is amazing with cinematography and photography. And that video wasn't actually my idea. He was just like, I love this song. Can I make a music video for it? And I said, absolutely.
That's so cool.
Nice.
Yeah. That's so cool. And I said last week, I think that's one of my favourites now, that one. So we're going to play it again soon. But you won set in a supermarket.
Yes.
That had a lot of work and effort into it, because I remember you telling the story of trying to get your time into that space and you had a limited time to film.
We really did. It was actually, we filmed that on the same day that daylight saving kicked in. So we lost an hour of filming. But New World were super supportive when I was like, can I film inside the store? They were like, heck yeah, of course.
Yes.
So that was great. And it was just, the time. I think we took 5 hours to film that in total.
That's cool. Yeah. We've got, I don't want to give too many secrets away of what we got planned, but I can tell you with the channel, Channel's one of my, it's my studio rock project. So Ben Ruig and what I sing is the adult contemporary slash university songwriting thing, which is, you know, why we wrote Becoming Strangers together. But Channeled is my rock outlet, and very excited to see what happens there. Me and my friends, we love cinematography and we love cinema. So we think that the music video is a really great way to tell a story. And that's kind of what really led music videos back into vogue in some ways, is that if you're going to spend time watching a video, you're going to hear a song and you want to see the payoff and you want to know about the characters in a short amount of time. So who could I work with best to let me tell that story? And I think we found the team. I don't want to give too much away. We're very excited, and we're gonna be filming the video also at Off Broadway Theater as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, once it's out, let us know so we can tell our listeners. So
yes,
that's
sir.
Cool. Take us back, Ben, for our listeners. When did music first kick off for you?
I think maybe when I was aware of what was happening in music as a young kid. Like my father and my mum and dad, they played a lot of music around the house. But then I guess the more that you listen to it, the more you pick up on little things that are going on. And that's interesting. Why did the songwriter do that? Like, what made them choose that lyric? And then when you find out that some of the bigger songs that we take for granted were written in 20 minutes, well, where did that come from? How did that happen? I want to know what that feels like. And so as a kid, when I was 12, I used to sit in my bedroom with a guitar and experience that wonderful feeling of flow state. And then no one else could hear it other than me and my parents in the house. And there's just something magical about that, and then getting to share that with other people is when they understand what you're trying to say in your song. It may not be the same intent that you had, but for some reason they might interpret it a different way. It's very beautiful because they might need to hear something or a lyric or a chord or whatever in their life at that time that you don't understand. So I think music is, if we look through all of history, it's like a way of communicating with people where we don't. It's like it's a universal language. So for me, for sure, it's all the records my parents played. All the 80s, so yeah, Air Supply, but like Peter Gabriel and other artists like Genesis and Pink Floyd and David Bowie and just different genres. Hip-hop, every style of music has its own thing that if you pay attention to it and you give it, it's the attention that it deserves, you'll be rewarded for listening to it. And I love that process. Yeah.
Jenny, what about you? When did it first kick off for you? Was it back at school or prior to that?
Prior to, I loved watching C4 as a kid, all the music videos. Like the Edge reruns and all sorts. So I just watched it all the time, and one day I was sitting there and Taylor Swift came on with You Belong With Me and Love Story, and something clicked in my brain and I went, I want to do that. So it was kind of, I was relentless after that. My grandma got me a guitar, and I was obsessively learning a lot of Taylor Swift songs, and eventually I got to a point where I was like, I have things I want to say that none of the songs I listen to say for me. Like, you know how you've just got a very specific experience and there are songs that kind of go along the lines of that, but they don't answer it for you? And I was like, I'm going to write the way that I feel into a song, and that's where it all started for me.
And you perform as a solo artist, but you also perform with bands. I had the privilege of having you perform with our Buff and Thompson Property Managers Day recently, which was fantastic.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
well done.
Kristen was there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was so beautiful and inspiring. And I thought, wow, this is really great for a company to bring in such a beautiful artist as you to help us wrap up our day, to be like, we're gonna, you know, put work aside and just welcome that storytelling and that feeling and those, you know, being able to just have it be such a great end of the day. Yeah, amazing.
Do you like performing with bands? Do you like performing solo? Do you like the mix? Would you prefer to be in a recording studio?
Depends, man. Like, Channeled came out of just you know, wanting to hear the music that I wanted to hear and trying to have fun writing and learning how, like, bands like Korn or Limp Bizkit or other heavy bands did it, you know, and then to be able to do that at a computer now is insane. You know, we can just make music for granted in some ways, but there's actually a long process. So that's kind of why I was getting into doing the Channel stuff. But my own stuff, Ben Ruig, I love the fact that, like, a song like Inside the Light, I wrote before I had my seizure. We spoke about this last time many times, but then when I go back and I listen to those lyrics, this is like prophecy. It's like it's you know, that's the one of the most interesting and fascinating things. When you speak to songwriters, they talk about this headspace of where they don't know where the songs are coming. It's almost like the song exists. I know that sounds, it's all spiritual, and but it's true. All the great songwriters speak of just feeling, and they're capturing a feeling. And if that feeling is universal, it doesn't matter what the lyric is. Whoever's listening can feel the emotion, maybe in the way that a voice is being used, or the melody, or the fact that they hold, you know, all these different things. It's, yeah, that's why I do it.
Nice. What about you, Jenny? Do you prefer solo, band, mix, studio, like?
If I could perform live with my band every time, I would absolutely do it. I love, my bandmates are the greatest, but there is also a comfort in having the vulnerableness of just being myself and a guitar on stage. Like if I'm sharing songs for the first time with an audience and they're quite vulnerable songs, it can be really nice to have a very intimate setting.
Yeah,
but
that's what the show is. That's what, you know, the reason I invited Jenny along is because I remember hearing her and many other students, and we come from the university setting, which is that the audience is sitting down and really like paying attention to the craft. And if you do that with songwriters, like think of Marlon Williams and many other songwriters around New Zealand and around the world, they're really just putting their hearts on their sleeve. And if you're willing to accept and listen to that, you'll feel something and learn something about that person. And realize that they're also human beings like everyone else.
And there is something as a listener, I know for me, if you strip away a band, I'm very much listening to the lyrics when I'm just hooked on one person. A band, I'm listening far more to the rhythm, the melody. Yes, the lyrics are a little bit, but I'm probably just enjoying the moment, where there's something about someone in a guitar or someone at a piano that I will just stop and listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Especially if it's and the setting has such something to do with it too. So it's the same thing with a music video. You're in that moment. You're kind of in that story with them. If you're playing it at a more intimate gathering, and that ambiance allows for me to then be vulnerable too, right? For the audience to be vulnerable and be right there with you. There is nothing like it. It's just beauty at its finest.
I would say though, on band with Channeled, when we play live as a band, it's just the coolest thing. It's like heavy rock music, and we just get to be in the moment together, and we create that energy that we love sharing with everyone else. It's not Channeled. The reason we're called Channeled is it's not about us on stage, it's about everyone in that room at the same time feeling the same thing that we're feeling on stage. It's the most coolest thing. It's humility at its finest in our ways. You know, we strip back and we just let but it's heavy.
That's cool. All right, we're going to play one of your earlier tracks, Walking in the Morning. Tell us the story behind this one.
Yeah, I love, so Matariki at the moment, right? So I get up in the morning and I see Matariki, and I think about the stories that we tell ourselves about creation, and every civilization has their creation story, and for us, Matariki is our creation story here in Aotearoa. So Walking in the Morning is where I find God. Within the song, there's not many lyrics. It's actually just, it's a mantra. If you listen to the way the guitar is played and how it slowly builds, you'll realize that the song is about nature or God or whatever you want to call it, calling us back home to know that everything's okay. We're all going to be okay and everything's going to be at peace. And so for me, getting up early in the morning and fighting the bed, trying to keep me in bed asleep, I much prefer to give thanks. And so this song is all about giving thanks.
Brilliant. All right, let's take it away. And we won't tell Emma, who's listening, that the room is full of bakery. They've been busy baking and we may be eating it while the music's playing. Here is Walking in the Morning.
Thank you.
walking in the morning. And it is a music video of sorts, but it's you running in the morning. I wouldn't say that's walking.
That one's, yeah, I mean, it's because I sped it up. You know, I'm not some sort of crazy orangutan just like going like crazy, walking around and jumping around with my arms swinging in the morning. It's a very ritualistic thing.
That is so cool. So as you prepare for a gig like you've got coming up in Papakura or any of the other gigs, what do you do? How do you decide what music you will perform, what's on the cutting room floor and what you don't? Like, is it the most favourite? Is it your favourite hits? Is it something new? Is it a mix?
I like to do a mix.
Yeah?
A mix of the, like, the ones that I know people are going to ask for, as well as new ones to kind of test the waters, see what they like.
I guess that is a good testing ground, because if people have come, they're people who you can immediately trust like your music. So, yeah, okay, I hadn't thought of that. Good testing ground. What about you, Ben?
I actually culled a whole lot. I like to think of something. What is going to allow me to feel something in front of the audience that have paid to see, so they can be part of that experience with me? So I don't want it to all be like that, but... yeah, vulnerability, man. I love vulnerability. I like the idea of their songs that I write that are very important to me, like Young Adult, about my child, my kids. And then when people hear me sing it or see me sing it as well, they understand, man, there's a passion or a connection to it, but I feel that, and it just, maybe they'll go away and think about things in a different way. And like, that's the sort of music we're playing, because we studied that in songwriting at university. We're trying to... capture the hearts and imagination of people.
Brilliant. All right, you're going to sing live for us now. What is this song called?
This song is called Becoming Strangers. I wrote the music for it, and Jenny helped basically write the lyrics and the melody for the words. I think it's a really cool combination of years and years of waiting for a song to be finished, and we finally finished it, thanks to Jenny's determination to working with me. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you for the opportunity. I very rarely get to write to a track, so... I was excited. Normally it's me and an instrument, so it's a challenge.
Nice. All right, we're going to attempt to double guitar and quadruple mic in this space.
Right.
All right, are you ready to look after them, Kristen?
I am.
We'll let them figure out what the song is about. Interpret it however you will. This is called Becoming Strangers. We'll give you that much. Here you go.
Just the waitress, you and me, how did we become strangers?
Do you think that we could start over? Did you even know my favorite color?
Is everything I say just your background noise? Day when you don't even know my voice. Oh, I'm going through the changes. We're going through the changes. Becoming blurry faces. It's like you're buying coffee and I'm just a waitress. You and me, how did we become strangers?
the stages, becoming blurry faces, becoming blurry faces. It's like I'm buying coffee and you're just the waitress. You and me, how did we become strangers?
I'm going through our pages, ink feeds to empty spaces. There's no us in the traces.
And now I'm buying coffee
and I'm just the waitress.
You and me,
how did we become strangers?
Wow, that was amazing. That was definitely quite a few moments we just had together.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. And I got so lost into videoing it and things that I didn't notice all the warning lights on the dashboard saying you are overloading the system. That's good. I don't think we've overloaded before, so that was something new. So well done. Yeah, fantastic sound. How many songs will you sing together on your night?
Did we put down... I'm going to do this and not say it.
Yeah,
but, yeah, you know what I'm saying. My kids know what I'm saying. I think five or six.
Or eight.
That's right.
Or a number in the middle. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Working with kids.
Yeah.
That's right. I know.
Yeah.
That is so cool. That is a beautiful song. Beautiful song. Last week, Jenny, I played your one. I'm going to play it again, called Driving Home. You mentioned it before, Soft Punchlines. So talk about them.
Yeah, Soft Punchlines, a.k.a. Chris Dent. He is the frontman of Albion the Wolves, but he started a solo called Soft Punchline, and he's been a really good friend of mine for a number of years. And I was like, I want to do more co-writes, and I asked him... And he was playing a really nice, cool guitar thing. And it made me think about how I was recently in my hometown and going past everything. And I missed a road that goes to my auntie's house. And I was like, oh, everything's changing. And I was like, wait, has the town changed or have I changed? And we kind of got a bit deep into it and wrote the song about it.
Oh. And as your music teacher beside you, does he give you feedback on these when they're released? Or do you run them past him? Like...
She doesn't need to, man.
Yeah.
To be fair, it is like sometimes do I ever give you feedback, Jenny?
I don't usually like send it to you directly. You just find it and you send me this really excited message of like, yeah. Jenny, this is really cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
When she started working with Scott and they were, you know, bringing in the more rock element, because I always said to Jenny that she needs to lift up that rock edge a little bit more. She's one day. But actually it's to be fair already. So I think on that album of hers, it was just so cool to hear her ideas that had been originally on just an acoustic guitar really get fleshed out and come to life. That must have been so exciting, hearing those songs like become real things.
It's kind of a bizarre moment to have something like that you've only heard on guitar for 4 or 5 years suddenly have drums and things. Like, yeah, I played them with my band, but it was different to hear them with synths and other things that we just couldn't quite put in as a 4-piece band. So, yeah, pretty
brilliant.
Wild.
All right, let's take a listen, and then after the song, we'll find out where you can get tickets and all that important stuff for their gig coming up. Here is Jenny Smith with Soft Punchlines, Driving Home.
The mighty mangroves. There was this
Jenny Smith, Driving Home. And Jenny, yep, that's your challenge now. That's my new favourite of yours. So you'll have to try and top that. That's your next little mission.
Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. Keep the baking coming and keep the tracks coming. So tell us, Ben, all about the gig coming up and what's making this special.
Yeah, so 8th of August, Saturday 8th of August. It's almost a year since we did it last time. It was a great evening. We've got about 80 tickets for sale. You're going to get to sit down and see and listen to music performed to you live with the Vulnerability. We've got Velura Chocolate. They're selling their own chocolate. We've got Craft Manio providing treats and snacks and other things. So we just want to make it a community-driven, nice evening. And then we want to get home early and go to bed as well because we like sleeping.
And this is at the Off-Broadway Theatre in Papakura. Where can people get tickets?
Ideally, Eventfinder, if they want to get them now, but they will be available at the door for the same price of $20. But we recommend buying them before they sell out. I'm sure this is going to sell out, eh, Jenny?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Jump on Eventfinder and book it. Kristen and I will check our schedules. Thank you so much for coming in and singing live, for always bringing us some treats, but for just being special people who keep popping along. We really appreciate it.
We appreciate you too. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks for singing live tonight.
All good.
Thank you for having us.
You are so welcome. Kristen, thanks for filling in. You're with me again next week. And next week we've got like a rock band in the space, a little nice. Different to tonight's live entertainment. We'll be really testing the microphones out. We haven't had a chance this week to run you through the theatre list, but of course you can simply jump onto thetheatrelist.com. It'll tell you everything that's coming up. If you're looking for something that's good for the school holidays, there's heaps of kids shows on as well all over Auckland, plus some other wonderful theatre. We try and get along to as many as we can. Thanks for always inviting us. We're going to close this Matariki weekend with I Believe from the Lads of the Mist and House of Shem. It's part of the Waiata Anthems. Have a fantastic week and make sure you
kick some arts.
Get together, a message to be heard. A winter time, get together, a mission to succeed. I believe.
Tell who I took the top to Christ.
I believe.
Tamatashi, don't you stop, keep striving.
All my life, I want. I can become what I am meant to be. Hey, I'ma just give it all I've got. Let the music guide the way. Cause it is up to me. I can't keep living this way. Living this way. Believe in yourself, in a vision. Don't feel no regrets on this mission. In this life there are times you get hit to the ground, but don't ever ever let them get you down. Oh, what a time to get together. Oh, what a time to get together.
Go up to the top of the prize.
I believe.
Don't you stop to strive.
Oh, yeah. Matika Maida.
Arana Maida. Temata Iami.
Iaka Hara.
Aia. Teitika Murani.
Mana Motu Haketia. I believe.
sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, blah.